Grace, peace, and mercy unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Definitely a second Advent theme here. Today I've chosen as my text 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you've wondered in the Creed, in the Nicene Creed, that Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, well, remember, some of us may be alive when Jesus returns, and we want to know how all those events are going to unfold, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 gives us some idea. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is our text. Please be seated. As we go about the business of decorating our homes and setting up the Christmas lights, we know that these Christmas lights, they shine as festive as always, but not so much for those who mourn. Christmas and the days leading up to Christmas, they're hard days for many people, and we need to be sensitive to that. This time of year, I get emails and I get inquiries about a kind of service called the longest night services. I know they have a couple of them going in Kitchener. Therefore, people who are spending their first Christmases without their loved one, whether you are part of the group that mourns or one of those who wonders what might be some encouraging words to say, God's word never leaves us helpless. God's word is always there with an encouraging word. After all, it's not mere paper and leather that we read from, but we always remember that the Word is the Word incarnate, and He lives. He is Emmanuel. It's one of the most popular names of Jesus in the Advent season. Emmanuel, He is God with us. One message from God's Word is, don't let those who grieve feel guilty about their grief. Embrace tears, sadness, longing, and remember that even our Lord Jesus wept for those whom he had lost from this life. Remember Lazarus in the shortest, perhaps most poignant verse in the New Testament. Jesus wept. Jesus is in the living flesh. He understands what it is to have emotion. Allow those who need to do the work of grieving, and don't let anyone feel guilty about how they may feel. But though grief is very much real, for Christians, grief is to be a grief with hope, and we can offer that to our loved ones. How the Christian hope contrasts with those of worldly hopes, if anybody even gives a second thought to it. Most people in the secular world, if somebody dies, they want to live through it as quick as possible. They want to put it on the back burner. They don't want to think about it anymore. But for those that are looking for some kind of hope in the world, they turn to things like, well, vague hopes. Maybe so-and-so will be survived by their children or immortalized on a cornerstone or digitalized in the cloud forever. The science fiction types might look to cryogenics, ready to be thawed out in full health in some future time. But what is the Christian hope? The Christian hope is that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. Such faith, rooted in reality, is sustained by the witnesses to Jesus' resurrected body. Therefore, live Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and live all the witnesses of the resurrection, live angels and archangels, and live all the company of heaven, we eagerly anticipate our own future. We believe that those who die in the Christian faith have bodies that, yes, the bodies may sleep in the ground, but the soul immediately goes to be the Lord, his angels, and the saints. And there live Christ, they eagerly await this great day of the Lord that is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians. It's waiting, sometimes for centuries, sometimes for millennia. We think of folks like Moses or Abraham or Isaiah. They're truly part of the people of God because they look to the Messiah to come. They're in heaven awaiting the great day of resurrection. Job, too. Job is there. I know that my Redeemer lives. In the end, I shall see God. In my flesh, I shall see him, he says. But though they may wait for centuries, they may wait for millennia, the saints in glory do not feel the weariness of time as the earth does. Nevertheless, there is anticipation in heaven for the day of the Lord. And then it will happen at a time when we least expect it, just like this. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a cry of command, of the voice of an archangel, and of the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. How is one said to be in Christ? You are baptized into Christ, and you live out your life in Christ by confessing his name and heeding a call to holiness. Those having confessed through their lives the Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, the third day he rose again from the dead, know that because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, we have that same hope that we too may be raised up. And because Jesus is risen in his body, we too may be raised in our very own bodies. Whether from buried remains or cremated remains or remains that are buried at sea, they will be raised from the dead in their body to meet the Lord Jesus. Those who mourn the passing of a brother or sister in Christ can take great comfort, because behold, they have a brother or sister who is baptized into Christ. They are baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. And if they write in their last will and testament, wishing for a Christian funeral service, such an act is a testimony of faith. They await the day of resurrection, and yet, as I've said, it's not a wearisome waiting, because they are with the Lord in heaven beyond the weariness of time. Here is the number one joy in heaven: to meet the Lord in the air, to meet Jesus, to be with Jesus. He loves us so much. He died on a cross to provide satisfaction for our sins. No wonder we eagerly await Jesus because of his love. He has the greatest insight concerning what might make us happy and content, since he is one of the three that says, let us go down and make man in our image. Still, despite the grandeur of his person, he desires to be called friend. We might sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. When we go to heaven, we see Jesus, He is our King, He is our Lord, He is our Savior, but He is also our brother and our friend. No wonder we look forward to that. Jesus comes and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What an awesome moment that is. St. Paul narrates what is to happen next. Then we, if it were to happen now or in the near future, we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together, lift them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Numerous other scriptures speak to the reality that Jesus may return at any time. No man knows the day or the hour. And Christians long for this time, praying after the pattern of St. John in the book of Revelation, saying, "Come, Lord Jesus." You may wonder, how is it that we may ascend as Jesus has ascended? How shall we ascend and meet Him in the clouds? In an instant, our lowly bodies will be transformed to appear as His glorious body. Do we have any idea what that will look like when we're transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye? Absolutely, we know. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, He sets an example for us. He had a glorified body. He walked the earth for another 40 days. Easter isn't just a day, but it's a season. And Jesus went about showing His body, a real body. He had a glorified body. At first, the disciples, like Mary Magdalene, could not recognize Jesus because, for one thing, they hadn't come to grips with the promised resurrection from the dead, but also because our Lord's body had been glorified. It means that His body had been prepared for heaven. Your bodies will be prepared for heaven. Jesus kept His wounds, but they were not as ugly scars. I like in one of the hymns that we sang today, it talks about the glorious scars. When He descends on the clouds, He'll have the scars, but they will not seem ugly to us. They will be His badges of honor. They will be the signs of His love. The glorified body means that Jesus retains a physicality about His body. Touch Him, He does not disappear like a ghost. He has a physicality about His body, but He will not be limited by that physical nature of humanity, and neither shall we. Jesus possessed what theologians call agility, that He was not restrained by His physical nature, and He chose not to be restrained by that nature, and neither shall we. Jesus could think of where He wanted to be, and instantly Jesus was there. You might recount the scene where Jesus is walking on the road to Emmaus, and they sit down to supper, and He's revealed in the breaking of the bread, and He disappears. He goes somewhere else. And He's not a ghost, but He is Christ, the true body, true soul, true divinity. Agility. Christians will meet the Lord in glory, and we will meet Him in our glorified body and our soul. Will there be judgment? Absolutely. And what does the creed say? The Nicene Creed says, He comes to judge the living and the dead. But the Christian does not fear. He knows that his sins are covered by the very blood of Jesus Christ. In baptism, the Christian has been clothed in the righteousness of Christ, and anything he happens to do for the kingdom by God's grace, those things are never forgotten. The good things, by God's grace, are not forgotten. Such acts are to be reflected even in our bodies. In chapter 12 of Daniel, verse 3, the prophet writes, "And those who lead the many to righteousness shall be like the stars forever. Indeed, they shall shine, both spiritually and physically. The body, in its final state, will be reflective of the soul. Jesus gave the apostles Peter, James, and John a foretaste of this property. Even before his resurrection, when on Mount Tabor he appeared to Moses and Elijah and was transfigured in their sight. He does this to give them a hint not only what he is like after the resurrection in the realms of glory in heaven, but how we shall be as well. We will be, as Daniel says, shining, shining. About this event, St. Matthew writes, "He was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light." We see this quality stunningly and powerfully explained in chapters 1 and 4 of the book of Revelation, both to describe Jesus and to describe the saints in glory. And it won't matter how one's physical appearance was in the earth or on the earth, the glorious bodies of those who arrive in heaven, they'll be far superior, more beautiful than anything seen in this life. The Saint Paul says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor has the heart of man conceived the good things that God has in store for those who love him." Holiness will be seen as beauty. Because when all is said and done, true and lasting beauty is identical of holiness and will reflect the righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. And even without such gifts, by grace there is reward enough, because we are going to see our loved ones and will live forever with the Lord Jesus. Is there any way we might find ourselves closer to our Christian loved ones who have passed, you may ask? Stay close to Jesus, and you'll be close to your loved ones in Christ. And you shall stay close. You may be in the church on earth, the church militant, and your loved ones may be in heaven, longing for the day of the Lord, which is the church triumphant. But still, it is one church, connected by the one Savior, Jesus Christ, bound together by the mystical body of Jesus, holding unity in one faith, one hope, and one baptism. Such is our Christian hope. Some may grieve this season, but may they grieve in Christian hope. These are encouraging words that we can all speak to one another. In his name, we pray we may learn to speak them and to know them. Amen.